That was loud. Good evening. Glad y'all made it out here on such a fine night. Wind blowing and everything else. I've always been fascinated by people who do their jobs well and complete. Have you ever noticed that? Some people just have a knack to do their jobs right. And that, by the way, is an art that is going away, it appears. And that's a jab to the younger generation, sorry, and uplifting to the older generation. But anyway, watching football, sports stars, they just practice, and they're like machines. Doctors who do their jobs well and complete and thorough and everything else, good mechanics, good speakers who put time in studying and practicing their art of speaking, and so on. They do their jobs completely, thoroughly, and I just love that. They spend years perfecting their talents and abilities, and you can tell. God helps us to do the same in our Christian life. He not only wants us to be saved, but he works on our behalf so that we can live the Christian life completely and to the fullest extent. We know what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, correction of righteousness. Anyway, we know what it says. Evidently, I don't, so I'm going to read over there. I never can remember the first one. And if I got it right, I probably would think that I got it wrong. See, this is the antithesis of doing their job well, huh? All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he wants us to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, gives us everything we need to do that. And then according to John chapter 10, verse 10, he sent his son to do this so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to live the Christian life to the fullest, to experience all the blessings he has prepared for us. And the topic of tonight's lesson is what God does to help us to make our Christian life complete. Our text, if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And that whole passage there, starting with verse 1, is really, really good. But we get down to verse 8. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So he wants us, he equips us, and prepares us to do every good work. And he wants us to do those works. So tonight, we begin here the work that he does for us. We can't even begin the Christian life until we become a Christian, till we obey the gospel. So the first work God does is that which he does for us. We are talking about salvation. God has done the work for us. God in his holiness demands a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, we talked about this whole section here, this morning, he demands a sacrifice for sin, and that sacrifice, that is something that which costs us, would satisfy his anger and remove the offense of sin from our lives. So that's what the sacrifice he demands. Blood of bulls and goats could not do that. Only the blood sacrifice had to be offered, but it couldn't be the blood of bulls and goats that took away our sin and satisfied God's wrath. It had to be something unblemished, something pure and holy. And the first thing God does for you and me is he provides that sacrifice. That's something we can never do ourselves. But God, Romans 5:8, demonstrated his own love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he provided that sacrifice for us. Where could we go and where would we be without God's love for us? He has done the work. And what we must do to make his saving work efficacious for us is we must be obedient to the gospel. It's almost like he says, here it is. I've laid it out for you. I've told you what you need to do. Just come and get it. Come and do what I told you to do. And basically, that's what it is, isn't it? Just do what he says and obey his will. And God tells us to come to him for salvation through Jesus. In Matthew 17:5, he spoke out from the heavens to there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him, or listen to him. So the first thing we need to do is listen to what Jesus tells us, and then to do it, to obey it, believe it, and obey it. Therefore, John 8:24, Jesus said, I said unto you, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So we need to believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. We need to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he says, I tell you no, because he was pointing to an example of people who were killed accidentally and because they were killed and had not had an opportunity to do God's will, and this is before he died on the cross, they died in their sins because they did not, they had not obeyed the message to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He said, you'll die in your sins if you don't repent. And then Matthew 10:32-33, therefore, Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven, or approve of him. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven. So we need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And of course, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then after we become a Christian, we need to live faithful. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So God's first work is to help us, live the Christian life pleasing and completely in every way, was to provide us with eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the first thing he does for us, or in us. He does it, he does it for us. The second thing is the work that God does in us and has done in us. The second work is the work God has done in us. After baptism into Christ, he continues to work in us. Those of us who are Christians know that after baptism, even though we have been cleansed from our sin, we are beginning our new Christian life as a new creature. And it is right then that God begins his sanctifying work in us, his transforming work. He takes this new creature and he starts molding it and making it, sanctifying us for service to him, setting us apart, creating something in us that is dedicated to him. How does God sanctify us? John 17:17, Jesus himself said, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. So how are we sanctified and start being transformed? By his word. Ephesians 5:25-26, Paul says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So we get the message of the word, and we apply that message, and it's going to lead us to baptism into Christ. Hebrews 13:12, the Hebrew writer says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So how's the sanctification process? Through the word done. You obey the gospel, you hear the word, and because of that word, it's going to direct us, if we are obedient, to be baptized into Christ, and that's where we meet the blood of Jesus in baptism, and where our sins are washed away, and we start transforming. That's the beginning. Romans 15:6 tells us that we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And again, in 1 Corinthians 6:11, we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And how does that work? It works through the word. The Holy Spirit speaking God's word to us through the word. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul writes to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10:10, by that will we have been sanctified. That will, God's will, the Lord's will, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then finally, Hebrews 10:29, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant, by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. So how are we sanctified? What does he do in us? He sanctifies us through the word, the washing of water, and the cleansing blood of Jesus we come in contact with. All of those verses point somehow, some way, to Jesus' blood and the cleansing of that and the sanctification process. The work of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification process is done through the word. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's in Colossians. I can turn to it right here real quick. Colossians, talking about how that renewing of your mind takes place. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. According to the knowledge of Jesus Christ comes through the word of God. So God builds our character as we learn and apply God's word to our life. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to the process there. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our spirits by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Holy Spirit works in us through the word, and it brings us through these different parts in our lives and makes us stronger and transforms us. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5, a similar passage there that most of us are familiar with. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, there's that word complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, so there you go. And then finally, in Ephesians 4, God building character in us by working in us the Holy Spirit and as we grow. Verse 11. And he gave, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're being built up. We're being equipped to every good work, till we all come in, to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about in every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and fit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I love that passage there, because it starts out individually, God equipping us through the word and strengthening us, and then it branches out to collectively, that if all of us work together and are growing together and being built up together, causes increase in the body of Christ and makes us stronger. Okay? God works in us to sanctify us, transform us into the image of his Son by the word of God sown deep into our hearts. And the more we hear it, the more we apply it, the more we become like Christ. Okay? We don't want to leave that out. The more we hear it, the more we apply it, the more we become transformed and into the image of Christ. God is there. God is there. It is His work that's working in us. His will be done in our lives. Why? So that we can live the life of a Christian to the fullest, abundantly, and get all the blessings that He has in store for us. The more we allow Him to work in us, the more pleasing we become to Him, and the more pleasing we know we are to God, and it's easier to walk faithful to God when we remain faithful to Him at all times. The more we are growing, we just keep growing and growing and growing. And thirdly, tonight, the third work that God does in our Christian life is the work that He does through us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we just read, Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God performed prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has prepared us to do good works. That's why we've been created. That's what we've been here for. He has saved us and sanctified us to be used to accomplish His will in this life. Not our will, but His will, to go out and share the gospel and to bring glory to Him. Paul tells Titus that as children of God, we are careful to maintain good works. Careful to maintain good works. This is a faithful saying, Paul tells Titus. "The things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." That means pay attention. Pay attention to how you're living your life and make sure that you are involved in doing the good works that the Lord has prepared you to do. I don't think a lot of us pay attention to that. We pay attention to try to live right, try to follow God's will, but what about doing His work? What about, you know, get the focus off us sometimes and start focusing outward to do His will. It is His will that we become strong Christians. But sometimes, at one time or another, we got to move out. We got to stop the inward focus and look outward. Okay? To be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Paul told Timothy to command the rich to do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. We should not lose sight of what we have been placed here to do, and that's good works. The goal or our job ultimately is the same as that of Jesus, to bring lost souls to salvation through Jesus. Luke 17:10 tells us that Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what He came here for. So our job is to reap the harvest, to bear fruit to the Lord. And over again, He tells us that in God's Word in many passages. I recently read an article that addresses the subject of bearing fruit, bringing in the harvest for the Lord. And what is so interesting about this article is the fact that it describes us much of the time, and how we find ourselves doing things. Once there was a man who had acres and acres of wheat, which was ready to be harvested. He purchased the finest harvesting equipment available and gave the highest price ever paid because he wanted the crop harvested. He hired four men to harvest the crop. The men decided before they began harvesting the crop that they should build a barn for the machine, the equipment. Since the machine was the finest, the barn should be the finest. It should have carpet on the floor, cushions on the seats, and it should be air conditioned. Now the barn was built and it was time to begin the harvest. The four men voted to see what jobs they wanted. One wanted to be chairman of the barn committee. After all, if the barn deteriorated and the harvesting machine was rained on, The machine would rust and there would be no harvest. So this man would be in charge of the barn. Another said, I'll be in charge of keeping the machine cleansed and polished. This is the finest machine in the world and it should look like it. I will wash and polish it weekly. The third man said he was mechanically gifted. He indicated he would be able to service the machine and keep it running. He was willing to oil and lubricate the machine, so he would be in charge of the mechanics. The fourth man said, I shall be in charge of overseeing this operation. We have four men working here. We need someone to make sure they don't overlap each other's area of responsibility. I will coordinate all the activities going on around this barn. One day the boss returned. The machine was not in the barn. The mechanic had taken it out for a test run. The cleaner and polisher were riding with him to make sure he didn't get the machine dirty. The barnkeeper was working on the air conditioning thermostat, and the supervisor was working out a schedule for the men. The wheat was rotting in the field. Jesus said, do not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Brethren, we have been created to do good works. We are instructed by God's word to be zealous for good works. We should want to do good works. We should be excited about doing good works. And then careful to maintain those good works, to keep them going. I think we need to examine ourselves to see if we are these things. If we are excited about and zealous about doing good works, and if we are maintaining good works. God's work on our behalf in these three ways. God works in our behalf in these three ways so that Christian lives may be filled to the fullest, complete. He works for us, he works in us, and he works through us. Has your life as a Christian been complete? Do you feel complete in your life? Do you feel that you're doing all that God has wants you to do? Now, I imagine none of us feel that way. You know, oh yeah, I got it all together. I know, you know, Don mentioned this morning, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So we better be careful. But we all feel a little incomplete. But you know what? God has done everything possible that we can get the most out of our Christian life and be most fulfilled from our Christian life. And so we really need to consider these things as we think about our spiritual lives. You know, is our life really dedicated to the Lord? And we're doing as much as we possibly can. We may not be doing as much as we possibly can, but do we do anything for the Lord except coming to worship? And then what do we do when we go outside these walls? All of us need to really contemplate that. Are we talking with our neighbors? Are we inviting? Are we encouraging the people we worship with? Are we building each other up? Are we working? Are we meditating on the word? Are we doing all of those things that we can to make our life complete in Christ? And they're already there. He just wants us to start doing them. And so we need to think about this. I think about that passage we read this morning about the shepherds out in the field. And we talked about this in ladies' Bible class. What is the first thing those shepherds did once they went and saw Jesus? They went out and told everybody around them about it. And then they went back home, out to the fields, out to their sheep. That's what it says. I don't know if you noticed that when it was read this morning. Then when they saw that, they went and told everybody about the things they had seen and the child that was born. And then they went back to see the child, and then they went back out to the fields. So they weren't telling the sheep about Jesus is born. They were telling others around them that Jesus was born. And so that really struck me. Are we talking to others and just bringing it up that we're Christians and here's where I worship and won't you come and visit? Or would you like to have a Bible study sometimes? Let me know. Another thing that fascinates me, and I'm going to probably preach on this one of these days, so I won't say too much about it, is we've got this all backwards. We got this whole thing backwards sometimes. We want to bring people here to hear the gospel. What does Jesus say? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Worship is for God's people to worship. When he says go, he means take the message out there. Don't bring them in here for the message. Well, whereas we can do that. The thing is, we need to go out. We need to go out. The church, we don't need to invite people to church. We need the church to be invited out to the world to do our work out there. Ask them, would you like a Bible study in the home? I can set you up with that. I may not be able to do it myself, but I know somebody who can. And then we start like that. Would you like to have a Bible study? Would you like, just to go out and start building a friendship with the goal in mind, I'm going to start building a relationship with this person and showing them what Christ is like. And there you go. So there's a lot of things we can do. We need to be wise in how we approach people and how we can reach people. And it doesn't always start with, hey, do you know Jesus? If you're not, you're going to hell. Because they'll probably say you first and then turn around and walk off. We need to approach them in a way that, and pray about it before we go. There's so many things we could do to be involved and careful to maintain good works. Come into Bible classes like many of you are. In fact, just when I look around the room, I think just about everybody in this room tonight has been coming to some of those classes. That's one of the things we do, maintain those good works, build ourselves up, equip ourselves with the Word of God. So much we can do. So this lesson tonight is for us to realize and be encouraged by the fact that God does those things for us because he wants us to live the complete Christian life, the Christian life to the fullest, to enjoy all those blessings that he has to give to us. We just have to realize that. Trust in the Lord and go about doing his business and doing what he says. So tonight, if you're here and you have been, you are a Christian, have not been faithful, please repent and come home to the Lord tonight. And also, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we invite you to obey the gospel tonight before it's everlastingly too late. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do so tonight while we stand and sing.